You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Graham Williams. He's talking to me from Johannesburg in South Africa. Graham, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you, Brainerd.
Let's talk about what you're working on now, Graham. What are you doing in your creative practice? You know, what's happening? And it could be I know a number of things could be going on, but what are you working on at the moment?
Yeah, there are a number of things going on, but my main emphasis is a shift in sort of geographical interest from South Africa, where I've photographed for 30 years, to the USA. I flew to Dallas last year and spent a month traveling around the Southwest. Since then, I've been working on that particular body of work. But for me, the next stage, so I've been researching the next stage, which is probably the Northeast and, if I've got time, the Northwest of the U.S.
Graham, as you travel through the United States, I'm curious about your process. And by that, I mean your setup, how you travel, and the camera you're using, and how you get what you're after. Can you talk to me a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. Because of the expense involved in traveling, hiring an RV, flying to the U.S., and basically living for a month, I had to kind of really work on exactly what I wanted to get out of the exploration. There were two main reasons, well, there's quite a few actually, why I have, after 30 years of focusing on the sort of turmoil of South Africa, why I've now started to focus on America. The practical ones are that the economy has pretty much crashed in South Africa, and one can't really afford to earn enough to pay the bills to continue doing work, my personal work, that is. So, and the other one is, well, and I suppose coupled to that is the elevation of crime. You know, we're close to sort of 60 violent deaths a day in South Africa, which is far more than the casualty rate in the Vietnam War, and that's just crime related. So a recent project that I did in the inner city of Johannesburg, I had three bodyguards working with me all the time. I must say that I was working in the middle of the night and going into hijacked buildings, and so it wasn't overkill at all. And even with that, we had a few dicey incidents. And the other one is that my friend and mentor, David Goldblatt, died in 2018. And a lot of my practice in South Africa had been about work that he shared an interest with, even if he hadn't photographed a similar thing. He was always there to bounce ideas off and to get a sense of whether I was on the right track. So he was an amazing part of he was my main mentor. So the combination of those factors led me to want to explore whether America fitted my idea and ideas that I'd gained in my youth. In South Africa, one was immersed in the pop culture of the 60s, 70s, and 80s coming out of America. And one gained an impression, and part of it was myth, and as I found out, part of it was real. And so when I came to the US, I started in Dallas, picked up my RV, and went across, I have to say, a kind of planned route, but I would also allow things just to happen. So I wasn't on a particular schedule, even though I did travel 3,000 miles in a month. I just loved the experience. It was,
it sounds like it was framed almost by what you imagined from 60s and 70s culture in the United States. Like for example, in a road trip, that would be Route 66 where in the South.
Correct, yeah. I mean, I didn't follow Route 66, but you can't help crossing it every now and again. I think that question leads to another strong element of what I was trying to do, which was to explore my own visual photographic DNA in a way, to look at the influences that I've had over time and how they've influenced my work and other influences that I've had here. You know, I mean, one can go through them briefly, like Edward Weston, Stephen Shaw, Robert Frank, you know, Winogrand. All of those people have an enormous effect on the way I photograph at various times. And what I didn't want to do was repeat what had been done before, but I wanted to look at it in a way that somehow reflected my, I suppose battles a bit dramatic, but I would say my exploration into what is mine and what has been, what I've absorbed from others. Mm-hmm. So the difficult part was not actually going out and doing a Stephen Shaw photograph or a Edward Weston photograph.
And when you were out there, I mean, I want to talk about what you did capture. What was your equipment? Well, you're using film. Is that the case?
No, I'm not a fan of the darkroom, and I have to say I was very easily persuaded to move on to digitals, and I photographed with a medium format digital Hasselblad, which has got a tilt shift lens, and the primary advantage of this, well, it's an adapter really, and you can, what you do is you're able to hold the parallels when you're looking at a building from slightly below, say, and
architecture, it straightens out all the lines we usually see distorted, in other words, by typical, let's say, 35 millimeter photography, right?
Correct, yeah. And in a way, what I didn't want to do is include sort of any gimmicky side of any gimmicky aspect to my work. And even though it's almost become accepted that you photographing a building, say, with a 35 millimeter camera and seeing the fall off perspective, I didn't want that even. I wanted things to be quite straight and straightforward for the viewer, and then so they could have they could explore the photograph and possibly understand the process that I was going through.
And what kind of images were you capturing in the United States? When you talk about exploring what you are, it sounds like the content, although of course it was always a surprise, is something specific you were after, and something that in a sense looked back on your career as a photographer.
No, I wouldn't say that. I've been through various phases of photography in the last 30 years of my work, sort of very strict documentary. I even worked for Reuters during a very violent transition time in South Africa. But then slowly over time in the 90s, I've really started concentrating on trying to communicate a feeling on how am I able to communicate how I feel within any situation, and that the viewers might get something. They might not get exactly the same thing, but my wish is that there will be a feeling communicated. So when you say, what exactly was I photographing, I never knew. I would go to cliches like Tombstone and Roswell, but you know, the last thing I'd want to do is photograph a sign saying aliens are coming or whatever, you know. So I would force myself to go to places like that and then find something that meant something to me and or sparked my imagination, and without making it a travelogue.
Mm-hmm. And so you come back from there with a body of work, I imagine. And what will happen with that body of work? Will that be exhibited, or what's the next step in terms of this body of work in this project?
Yeah, well, I have to say I've been listening to some of your online advice. It's, you know, it is quite tricky being right at the bottom of Africa and trying to open up spaces in the US. Within South Africa, there isn't any space for this kind of thing. So I've been, you know, I entered in the
ICP.
Yeah, ICP.
It
got honorable mention in there, and I've been sending it to various curators. And I mean, what I was determined to do was get the text correct, and I've been working with the former kind of manager or CEO of Hees Marcel in Holland, a lady called Els Barend, and she's got a very strong Dutch attitude towards getting things absolutely perfect. So the text took 3 months for me to perfect, but she was absolutely fantastic.
Well, that's exciting. And, you're talking about the difference between, you know, what's happening right now in Johannesburg and South Africa and other parts of the world where you're traveling to. It does sound like I never heard those statistics of that amount of homicides every day, which is, you know, so alarming and upsetting. What is the future of that? Will you remain there? It seems like a dangerous place to be, honestly, given the statistics you're talking about. Or what do you imagine for the future in terms of where you work and live, you know, given the situation there? Or do you think the situation there will change soon?
Well, the trouble is we've had an extended period of extreme corruption. Post-Mandela, there's been a slow decline. In fact, today is 30 years ago today, Mandela was released from prison, exactly today. And I was standing outside when he walked through the prison gates, and it really was just the most amazing moment. You know, we had spent our whole lives knowing about this person in prison, and watching him walk out of the prison after 27 years was just a remarkable moment. And I have to say 95% of the country, except for, you know, a few right-wingers swinging in the trees in the rural areas, 95% of the country was just so taken by Mandela and the force of his personality. He really shone. You know, I've photographed a lot of well-known people, but I have to say his sense of character and sense of self, it just really shone through in a way that was quite unique. And we all got on board. It was just the most fantastic period in South Africa's history. We'd got rid of apartheid. We really saw that there's a possibility of a future. But unfortunately, yeah, corruption has completely undermined all the benefits we had from the Mandela era. And yeah, I know there's just so many, you know, we've got the worst statistics, you know, highest number of rapes in the world, you know, 50 times greater chance of being murdered in South Africa than in Western Europe. You know, there's horrible attitudes towards lesbians, gays. It's so, yes, your question is correct. I'm getting to the point where I don't know if I can stay, but you know, I've spent my whole life here, and it really is a beautiful place to live. It's just a scary, scary place to live. Just in the last 3 weeks, 5 different people that we know have been attacked. So that's not a good statistic. So there's a chance, you know, it's your turn statistically somewhere along the line.
Mm. Well, that's quite frightening. And well, I want to thank you for talking with me about this today. And also, I want to ask you what you're reading at the moment.
Well, possibly it's because I'm contemplating a move because I've got dual citizenship and can move to England. So I'm actually reading something called London, the Biography, which is one of those books that have got 800 and something pages. So when you fall asleep, you have this real thud of a tomb of a book landing on your chest. But it's amazingly interesting. It follows, you know, from early man until present day. So it really is a remarkable book.
Well, Graham, I want to thank you so much for talking with me today. I've really enjoyed this.
Fantastic. Well, I've really enjoyed it too. So thanks, Brainerd.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.